tuned into the State of South Carolina's weekly high school show, Four Quarter Friday, hosted by Matt Smith and Steve Hall, part of the Chief Sports Network, and proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. I keep believing, no plans on leaving, even if we have a losing season. Pride is a capital letter on my baseball cap. It's what holds us together around this dot on the map. Now it's the color I bleed in the stitches and my stitches and my stitches and my stitches and my pride is a capital letter on my baseball cap. It's what holds us together around this dot on the map. It's the color I bleed in the stitches in my shoes and my jacket matching pride.
Welcome to bonus content here on Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith and Steve Hall with you. And now we've got Tommy Bell joining us. And Tommy, we're talking wrestling. And I know that in this circumstance with the weather, it affected what was going on with basketball. It certainly has affected what's going on with wrestling. So first, welcome to the show. We're so glad to be covering wrestling with you. And secondly, tell us how this has affected the schedule and how teams are dealing with it. And now how are these matches being scheduled? Is it one after the other? And does that have any effect, I guess, on you know, depth of these teams and how much wrestling they're having to do in 48-hour periods?
Yes, sir. Well, Smitty, certainly if there's one thing that wrestling coaches love, it is the opportunity to whine and complain. And the weather has just drummed that right up for us so we can complain with the best of any head coaches out there. So it's certainly not great. You know, wrestlers have to manage their weight, and that's one of the parts of our sport that it just we can't get around. As much as we wish we could, the weight classes are a big part of it. So I had a lot of schools that had to miss 3 or 4 days 2 weeks ago and then had to miss 1 to 3 days of school this week. But we delayed the start of the playoffs, which should have began last Saturday, and then picked them up again last night on Thursday, February the 5th, with the beginnings of the playoffs. And now we're off and running. Got 2 rounds of the playoffs done last night. The girls' state championships will be decided this Saturday at Dreher High School. That's for 4A to 1A girls and then 5A girls. And then the boys' brackets will go third and fourth round of the playoffs on Saturday, and then the state championship games matches at some of the local high schools in Columbia. The high school league's still working on those details. Next Wednesday will be the dual state championships. But for the most part, again, I think our coaches are excited to get going. It's a fun time of the year. And, you know, again, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of a break, and just gives us some more time to get on the phones with each other and complain about the injustices and everything that's going wrong and, you know, stuff like that.
Coach, thank you for joining us. When I reached out to Coach Early, the president and the executive director of the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association, who's a proud partner of our program, I said, hey, who is the guy I need to talk to about wrestling? He gave us your name, and I'd love to hear kind of your background and what kind of your role looks like for the state of South Carolina with wrestling.
Well, I'm an old retired coach now, and just on the athletic director side, and you know, had a high school career in the state that was pretty good. My brother was a successful wrestler. He's probably one of the best wrestlers in the state's history. And our family was really involved in wrestling. My mother and father actually last year were inducted into the National Wrestling Hall of Fame for the South Carolina chapter. And so I've just been involved in the Coaches Association around 2026. I kind of took over as the secretary treasurer and have held that position for about 20 years, you know, tag team with Greg Brewer at West Oak High School as he was getting out of his coaching career to kind of help us out and just kind of help organize and run that event, that, that group. It's a real pride for me. Obviously, I love the sport of wrestling. It gave me so much, and it's such a great sport. And so I like being able to help take care of some of the things that our head coaches, you know, maybe don't have time to or don't know about the process to get things done. I kind of try to help out as much from an administrative side and then just be a fan watching the wrestling from the background.
Tommy Bell joining us. As he mentioned, longtime wrestling coach, now athletic director at TL Hanna, helping the Athletic Coaches Association oversee some of this. Tommy, one thing I noticed as I was in brackets comparing last year to this year is you have a lot of different schools, new schools ascending to some of the top seeds. And I know that, look, coaching matters a lot and tradition and legacy matters a lot. But I think as much as any time in the history of this state, there are different schools. There are a lot of schools with opportunities to win state championships this year.
I think that's it. I mean, we had a boon in wrestling, you know, 20 years ago with youth wrestling really taking off. Our youth wrestling association at that time was recognized as one of the fastest growing. Like a lot of youth sports in the South, it was something that's happened. And as our populations have gone up, we've started to see a lot of variety in the quality of wrestling around the state. And just like with a lot of things, competition breeds excellence. And as we've gotten more and more kids involved, it's trickled on up to the high schools. You know, for 30 years, you know, Somerville and Rock Hill areas of our state had the dedicated middle school youth programs. And so they dominated wrestling, you know, taking turns for, again, 30 years of wrestling in our state. And now you've got the opportunity, you know, for other schools to kind of rise up a little bit. Now, we still have all the traditional powers pretty much still at the top, but it's not a foregone conclusion maybe of who those top two or three are always going to be. There's certainly, you're starting to see programs rise up just like you do in other sports, baseball and softball, where you can have a good little run of athletes. You know, for a long time in our state, it just wasn't possible in a sport like wrestling, but we're starting to see that a lot more.
Coach, before we dig into some of these brackets and actually start talking about some results, for our viewers that aren't used to the sport of wrestling, how the competitions and the matches work, what does the scoring look like? What does the dual championship playoff brackets look like from a strategic standpoint and from just the from the fans, the average fans' standpoint?
So dual sport of wrestling is obviously like it is, team versus team. It's your 14 against my 14. And the wins range in between 3 points for, you know, beating you by a few points, up to 6 points for a pin. And one of the aspects of wrestling that you'll see sometimes in a dual situation is you'll see, you know, a team get really, really excited when maybe one of their middle of the road wrestlers doesn't give up a pin against the other team's outstanding wrestler. You get a lot of matchups and strategy involved in that. But ultimately, you know, it's one of the first sports that was ever around in the Olympics. It's just about, can I put your shoulders down to the mat and pin you? And that's ultimately what everybody's striving for. And then we'll count up the points at the end. And then, you know, Smitty alluded to it. We have the individual state championships that come up afterwards. Which is, you know, it's almost like we have two seasons in wrestling. You have the team portion and you have the individual portion. In our sport, you know, a lot of the larger states, they don't have the dual state championships. They can't feasibly do it in a state like California and in some of the other places. So the individual side is what crowns your best teams. We're fortunate enough, like a lot of the states in the country, where now we have a dual side and we have an individual side that we can, you know, give a lot of attention to both sides of it.
Well, that's wonderful. I know we've got some results coming in, and Tommy, I know that because they're doing this this, you know, early in the week, and then it's going to progress, this is going to move fast. But if you would, take us through some of what you have seen happening in the brackets, and, you know, if you could highlight some of the programs perhaps that you anticipate making it all the way to the championships or being favored to do so.
So I think you're looking there at the Division One side, and that's one of those where, you know, when 5A in this last realignment went to the bigger classification and tried the two divisions, you know, in some sports, you know, everybody assumes, oh, well, the bigger schools are always in that better division. And in the sport of wrestling and and, you know, swimming, for example. There were some sports where it kind of worked out to where the Division II maybe had some of the powerhouses, and you see that. And Division I is a little bit more wide open. Carolina Forest last year won the state championship, defeating Boiling Springs. It was the first time for those programs being at that high of a level of competition, and Carolina Forest won that first state championship. So they're the defending state champions here. Clover is a program that I really like to keep my eye on. Mike Fitzgerald has been a longtime coach there. He started the program at Clover High School, I believe, in 2002. He's the only coach they've ever had. He had a really, really, really good team 3 years ago and just couldn't get over the hump of beating Hillcrest. He's got another really solid team this year. And they, of course, drew the number one seed and will try to get to their first state championship match ever. And then James Island has been really, really good. They won that region this year down in the Charleston area, the Region 6, beating the traditional powers of Ashley Ridge and Somerville and Fort Dorchester, all schools that have won state championships in the last decade. James Island came out on top in region play. And James Island's had really good programs since the 1990s. They've been a little bit more hit or miss, but in the last 3 or 4 years, they have really been a strong program.
Coach, as we're looking at this bracket right here, you know, you mentioned the Somerville area being such a traditional wrestling school. I think the LaPrade name has touched almost every program in Dorchester County. Do you have special like notes for us to take take note of with Somerville recently losing to Ashley Ridge? That seems to be a pretty big deviation from maybe Somerville's history, because they usually go pretty far, do they not?
Yeah, I mean, I think again, Daryl Tucker is their head coach, and he is amazing. He's been when he was an assistant coach, he was recognized as the National Assistant Coach of the Year. He's been really successful as a head coach at Somerville High School. They've been to the state championship a lot of times. So it's really not, it really goes back to Smitty's point. They haven't really fallen off as much as it is just everybody else has been able to rise up to that level to create that competitive balance now. Ashley Ridge won the state championship in 2023, I believe, was when they defeated Hillcrest in a match that SC Matt said was the greatest dual match they had ever seen in a state championship match, when they did a ranking of the all-time state championship matches. So I think it's just more, again, a spreading out of the wealth. And again, it goes back to Somerville is an area of the state like Rock Hill where you're really probably in like your third generation of people growing up with the sport of wrestling. And in the rest of our state, that's just not the case. But in the Rock Hill and the Somerville areas, you know, they had middle school wrestling in the late 70s and early 80s. And so you've got grandparents who wrestled and now dads, and now it's their sons. And that's just, you know, that's just a tremendous advantage. You know, when you look around the country, you know, I try to remind people in the state of South Carolina, we're still, you know, around the 50th, you know, we're still, you know, between 50 and 60 years in the sport of wrestling. And you have some states that have had it for 120 years.
That's something else. Tommy Bell joining us, athletic director for TL Hanna. We are talking about wrestling in the state of South Carolina. We are starting to move toward the state championships. And as Tommy, as we move on to 5A Division II, and you glance at that bracket and who's moving on there. Also, if you could tell us maybe the impact of this being truncated now, where you're having to wrestle in back-to-back days. I know in a lot of sports, playing basketball in back-to-back days is tactical. How about wrestling in consecutive days?
Yeah, so wrestling, they're not going to end up going consecutive days. But they are going to wrestle two matches on the same day because of this truncated schedule with the playoffs. So in the lower state, Lugoff Elgin is going to be a pretty heavy favorite to advance out of the lower state. Ted Monroe, the head coach there, has done a tremendous job for a long time. He was a longtime middle school coach there building up that program. They have been a program that hasn't quite been able to get over the hump and win that state championship in the last few years, but they've usually had that roadblock of Eastside High School right in front of them back when they were all in 3A and then in 4A. Chapin has a really good team this year and will probably give them a little bit of fits. And Lucy Beckham has some outstanding individuals who will certainly win a lot of matches. But I think Lou Goff's the favorite down there. In the upper state, I think that's where you see kind of the featured matchup on Saturday for wrestling fans in this state. Now, my beloved kids here from T.L. Hanna, we won last night in the second round of the playoffs, beat Lucy Beckham. But we're going to go up to Fort Mill on Saturday, and Greenwood and T.L. Hanna are going to be pretty heavy underdogs to Fort Mill and Eastside, who are going to be the big marquee matchup. Eastside, of course, has won. I think Jack Kosmicki has now won 19 state championships as a head coach. He broke the record by the great Jim Barnes two years ago. And Fort Mill's going for their fourth state championship at the biggest at the 5A classification. So without a huge upset coming from either Greenwood or T.L. Hanna, you look at that upper state championship match kind of being the marquee. They met last year in the upper state final with Fort Mill winning by a point, and it'll be a big-time matchup again with a lot of star power in our state for wrestling.
Coach, moving on, we know you've got to get back to your daily duties of being an athletic director, but we don't want to move past 5A just yet because girls wrestling has now become one of the fastest-growing sports in high school. Talk to us a little bit about the teams here for girls wrestling 5A.
So these are the programs that have really embraced the sport of girls wrestling the last couple of years. Greenwood and Rock Hill and Blythewood are the three teams that have been able to get the biggest numbers out in girls wrestling. There are some others that are really gaining on them, but it's not a surprise to see those three in the final four. Mm-hmm. Again, River Bluff and Blythewood would have to pull off tremendous upsets to stop the rematch from the Rock Hill girls and the Greenwood girls from coming back together. Rock Hill, again, a favorite to defend their dual state championship that they won last year. But Greenwood is certainly going to be right on their heels and provide a strong challenge for them in the championship match. I've talked to the coaches. I think they both feel like it's going to be a very competitive matchup this year. But I think Rock Hill is still going to be the favorite. And you're right, girls wrestling just continues to grow in our state. I've been shocked at really since COVID, the numbers have just exploded in that sport.
Tommy Bell joining us, athletic director for T.L. Hanna. Coach, let's keep going down. We'll go to 4A if we can. Take a look at that. But I wanted to ask you as well, you mentioned how big the youth movement has gotten. But those people that want to get, they think, oh, wow. Especially if their child they think might have a future in wrestling, how do they get involved? How do you seek out these youth groups that are kind of feeder programs now? Is it easy to find, or do they have to go find them themselves?
It is. Now, typically we've had youth wrestling in our state that started as AAU and then transitioned into Skyway that kind of mirrored the high school sports season. And that's when it really started to take off, when you had a group of individuals that were going to offer youth wrestling from November to February. It kind of just fit the calendar for wrestling dads. When I was growing up and previous to those mid-2000s, if you wanted to wrestle, it was a spring sport done by USA Wrestling. And USA Wrestling, that's the group that fields our Olympic team and is involved in that. And wrestling on the national level, you got to get involved with USA Wrestling to wrestle the best competitions and the best events. But when our sport grew, it was kind of when it began there. And then since then, you've seen rec departments offer it. Oh, now we can offer something as a change up to recreation basketball. We can run a youth wrestling program through our rec department in those winter months to give families more of an option to stay involved. And so that's really where you've seen a lot of that growth.
That's fantastic. If you would, Tommy, and maybe you could probably do this off the top of your head, but as you look at the other programs, both in girls and boys, if you could highlight other programs that you think we might see standing at the end, and if you could touch on one other thing, because we talked about youth and the girls getting involved, more and more involved, you know, you probably grew up in the environment where it was all about dropping weight, you know, because you wanted to wrestle at a lower level. Tell us what changes have been made and how that has been softened a little bit, because that might be a concern of parents as they get in. But I know that everybody that's involved in wrestling now has really embraced those changes that have been made.
Yeah, it was. It came about in the late 1990s. The sport of wrestling really came under a lot of criticism, and had to make some changes. So you went to hydration testing, and so basically we now, like a lot of analytics, we plug some numbers in a computer, and it tells us where you can be healthy and compete. I would say for 90% of wrestlers, they don't come anywhere close to a 7% body fat, but we'll allow you to go down that far. So there's a little bit of giving that information to parents. Hey, here's what it looks like. 90% of our kids probably wrestle a weight or two above how low they can go. And then it becomes, we don't really like to refer to it as much as weight cutting, as much as it is just weight management. You know, the kid who's a sophomore who has to make weight at 142, who weighs 143, you know, he thinks he's dying having to watch his weight to make 142. And it's really not. It's just getting into a good habit of, hey, when are you going to get your workout in? How are you going to structure your meals during that day? And then after you weigh in, what are you going to eat to refuel? There's a lot more science out there. And I think some of it is we've learned from boxing and UFC and things like that, where, kids are getting in the spot. They're trying to get in a weight class where they can be the best athlete, which is a little bit of a blend of how can you mentally handle, you know, what you've got to do and be disciplined with your eating versus also where can you be the strongest. And so, yeah, I agree with you. We're not seeing kids that are having to suck that weight like they used to back in the day. And I think one of the things, it trickles up to the college level. It's routine. The guys in college now, they're wrestling different weight classes in college because they're continuing to grow and continue to develop. And that's just a trend that I think we'll continue to see.
Coach, give us some updates on the West Oak program. I know Coach Strobel a little bit, and I went to Lexington High School. He was at Lexington High School for years and years, and now he's at West Oak. Excuse me. I don't know if I've seen those results in that classification yet. Can you give us an update on that side of things?
Yeah, as far as all of our classifications, probably if you were asking me to be a betting man on who's going to win a state championship, it would be West Oak in the 3A classification. And there are people putting a lot of work and a lot of effort into trying to catch up. But right now, West Oak is just kind of head and shoulders above the competition at 3A level. They defeated Palmetto last night, in the second round. Palmetto had a really good team this year, but battled some injuries and dropped a third in their region. But West Oak's really good. Coach Strobel's got his youngest son in the lineup, who's a junior, and the 157 or 165, I can't remember which one Cy is in, but they've got a whole crew of all-stars in the middle of their lineup that could compete in any classification. So Coach Strobel left Lexington a few years ago, went up to West Oak, where there's just a tremendous amount of talent. You've got a lot of former Clemson college wrestlers that are in that area that support it. That are really excited about it. Of course, Derek has his college connections. He's got Adam Duncan, who he they grew up around the same time in the mid-90s wrestling in high school, and Adam's his assistant coach and very involved in high school wrestling. So they've got a totally complete program from youth wrestling all the way up through high school and an elite-level coaching staff. And it'll be really difficult for somebody to knock them off. I know there are lots of people that are going to give it a try. Billy Jones at Ainer High School was in the state finals last year, and they work really hard and have a good program. But Derek's got an elite program at West Oak rolling right now.
All right, Tommy, if you would promote for us, take us through the next week plus. If somebody wants to get out and catch some of the meets or then maybe even the state championships, can you kind of – guide us through it so people can get out and support these wrestling programs.
So on Wednesday, we'll have the boys finals in the Columbia area. Now, I don't have all of that information. That'll kind of come out dependent upon the teams that make it. The high school league staff is working on that. The girls state championships will be this Saturday, which is tomorrow. The boys duels will be on Wednesday. And then a quick turnaround to Friday and Saturday, the individual tournaments will be held. 4A is at West Oak, and 4A is at Westside High School. 5A is at Boiling Springs. So around the state, you can find all of the locations for those qualifying tournaments. And then, you know, down at the Florence Civic Center on February 20th and 21st, Friday and Saturday, It is just a humongous event now. Last year was our first year. We as wrestling coaches have fought to get extended brackets and bigger brackets, and we cut a week out of the season so that we could kind of justify some of the changes that we made as a coach association in conjunction with the high school league. And it worked out to be a huge success. I joked with our high school league staff about, it was the first time they got to walk around the Florence Civic Center, and they got to be the heroes, and everybody was excited about being there, and everyone was thrilled, and they all got a chuckle out of that. But for wrestling people, we had outgrown the Anderson Civic Center where we had been, and it was time for us to get a little bit bigger in Florence. For all the complaints that were made about it in other events, for wrestling, it has been a home run situation. So our fans were happy, our wrestlers were happy, our coaches were thrilled, and the high school league staff got a lot of pats on the back for helping us make that transition last year.
Oh, that's great to hear, because you're right, Tommy. It's not always. It's usually somebody grabs you, tugs you on the sleeve, and has a complaint for you. So it's wonderful that you had a home run. And hey, Steve and I both want to say thank you so much for joining us and help us shine a light on what's going on in wrestling. And as you noted, the wrestling program, the girls, the youth movement, it's grown so much, a lot of it under your watch. You don't have to take that credit, but you and your other coaches. So congratulations on the growth of wrestling, and I hope it's another huge event in Florence this year.
Well, thank you guys for looking out for our athletes in the state. We certainly appreciate it. Everybody, any coverage we can get for our wrestlers in the state, certainly appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach. And that's another episode of Four Quarter Friday. Smitty, we'll see you on Friday. But thanks again, Coach Bell, and we'll catch you later at the state championships, hopefully.
You're tuned into the state of South Carolina's weekly high school show, Four Quarter Friday, hosted by Matt Smith and Steve Hall, part of the Chief Sports Network. Proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
I keep believing, no plans on leaving, even if we have a losing season. Grind is a capital letter on my baseball cap. It's what holds us together around this dot on the map. Now it's the color I bleed, and the stitches in my stitches and my stitches and my stitches in my pride is a capital letter. Together. Around the start of the battle. It's the color I bleed and the stitches in my shoes and my jacket matching. Right. Right. Yeah, we got pride. Yeah, we got pride.